Thanks, Roger. Thanks, Helen, for your prayers. Just checking that we've got sound, that we're still alive here, and great. It's really nice to see all your faces this morning. We get used to different galleries these days, don't we? Either on the computer or face to face, many different galleries. So I've got all of your faces up now. I'm just checking that you're still with me. No one's sleeping. Yeah, you're all still. That's wonderful, isn't it? But I do actually miss being, you know, this morning, again, would love to be kind of with you. And physically, I think when you're sharing things, people draw things out of you. And that's a wonderful thing. But I just want to share a couple thoughts with you today. And it's really just a simple thought of following Jesus. Just being reminded this week about how wonderful it is to follow Jesus. He is absolutely wonderful. In a week where you go on a few roller coasters, it's just still wonderful to follow him, to know him. Knowing Jesus, there is no greater thing. And I just want to read some scriptures to you. If you have a Bible with you, I'm just in Mark's Gospel. And I just want to, in chapter 10, I want to read, it's good to read scripture out loud, good to hear it as well. And I just want to read these verses out and then just pick out a couple things that the Lord Jesus says. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 35. It says this, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, that's Jesus, saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So Jesus said, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. They are incredible verses. Just a little reminder that the Lord Jesus was on this mission of going to Jerusalem, and he knew what was coming for him, and that was his own death. But along the way, he showed incredible places of compassion on people. And that really spoke to me this week, that he went down into this place of Jericho, and physically it is down. It's Jerusalem is way up high, Jericho is down low. And he went to that place, and he would have been busy, and he would have had many conversations. But I just thought it was amazing that he stood still and met this man Bartimaeus. But before I get to there, these scriptures that I've read out really talks about kind of status over service. I've been thinking about them, that how wonderful it is that we can be in a service and serve the Lord Jesus rather than being in status. And the world would love to give you and promote status, that you are someone. You're someone very special. You can make yourself special. But these verses really just show how wonderful it is to be a servant of the Lord. And James and John got into the trap of being caught in, oh, who's the greatest here? And they actually said, I don't know if you remember when I read that first verse, they said this, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Wow. That is something else. That's in a place where, man, they must have been struggling with things. Maybe they were thinking, who's the greatest out of us? Maybe Peter's a bit better. The little inner circle of James, John and Peter. But Jesus links these two stories together because he asks the same question in both. He says, what do you want me to do for you? And I, in this week of preparation, pictured us all together this morning in a physical context, and I was going to ask you that question. What do you want me to do for you? If Jesus asked that question of you this morning, how would you answer him? What would you want me to do for you? And just a very simple thing this week, where the Lord's faithfulness is incredible, that we had a week, and Helen just kind of alluded to it earlier on, but our youngest, who's actually sat here, so I better not embarrass her, but our youngest, I won't say her name, but she had all the symptoms of this thing that's going around at the moment with children, strep A, which is can go into something that's quite serious, but she had all those symptoms with a temperature of 40, and that was high, and I had a phone call at work, going to take her in, speak to the doctor. They said, take her up to the A&E, which Helen took up to the A&E, and I was driving home, and I just remembered this question. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asking me that simple question, and I could have gone down the route of replying like James and John, well, I want to be the greatest in the Wirral. I want England to win the World Cup, which maybe I shouldn't bring that up this morning. I want this and that. I want a superpower. For all you kids that may be listening this morning, I want to be invisible maybe, or I want to... But my answer was this, Lord, would you bring this temperature down for this little girl? And then just on the way home, and as I was getting home, I think I phoned, and the temperature had started to come down, and it went down to 37. And you know what? I just, in a very simple way this morning, can I just say the Lord is so faithful and so good. Oh, the goodness of God. He may ask you a question today. What can I do for you today? Maybe you're grieving today. Maybe you're ill. Maybe you're sore. Maybe you're hurting. He does ask you that question, and it's how we answer it. And James and John, well, they had other things on their minds. They were thinking, who's the best out of all of us? And then it went to the other guys, and they were displeased when they found out that James may be on the right-hand side and John on the left. Where am I going to fit in? What seat am I going to have? And they got it all wrong. And I know it goes on to this next little story of blind Bartimaeus. I think the Lord Jesus used this as an illustration of being and having a servant heart, not grappling for the greatest. And he actually kind of showed it in a practical, miraculous way. And I just want to pick up on the verses now of blind Bartimaeus. I hope you're still following me. It goes to this. It says in verse 46, now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And just this week, the last week or so, I've just been thinking about blind Bartimaeus. There's not many people in the Bible that when the Lord healed them, that they had their name and were known for their name. He was known for his name, blind Bartimaeus, which Bart means son of. So that's why it's son of Timaeus. And it's interesting that everyone would have known him. Jericho was one of those places where it was a thorough through road where everyone would have gone through it to go up to Jerusalem. And it would have been that place where it was quite rich. There were quite a few inhabitants there and it was quite wealthy. But with wealth, there came a real poverty. There were beggars there and he was one of them. And he was there and he had his garment on him. And I was thinking, yeah, he would have been known as blind Bartimaeus and he would have had that same garment on him. Probably for many years. Sat maybe in the same place. His identity was he was poor. Almost homeless, he was blind, and he just used to beg. And I thought, well, how different is it that the Lord, well, the disciples were arguing amongst themselves who is the greatest. The Lord Jesus' heart and his eyes were after that man there. And it goes on, just follow the story with me. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he cried out and said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. We all, by the way, have to come to that place in our life. I don't think you can just coast in to salvation. I think there's a place where you have to call out. And then it says this, and many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more. This week I cried out to the Lord Jesus. I could have kept quiet. I could have lacked a bit of faith. But no, you've got to sometimes persevere. So the others around him, there would have been other blind beggars there too. If you look in the other Gospels, it wasn't just one. There was another one mentioned too. But it actually, it made it more kind of pertinent to me that there's a bit of determination in this from Bartimaeus. Others were telling him, you just pipe down. This is a bit embarrassing, Bartimaeus. You're being a bit loud here. This guy's pretty important. But no, he didn't. He carried on. It was went even louder. I don't know if you've ever felt like that sometimes, but sometimes when I've been in the meeting praising, there's something that kind of, oh, I mustn't be too loud here. I need to kind of keep this. But no, you've got to let it go. You've got to let that noise and praise rise from your heart. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. The incredible thing in this story is that this isn't so much about Bartimaeus, like I just said, crying out. It's actually that Jesus was calling him. That's incredible, isn't it? That he hears our cry and at the same time he's calling into this situation. And then together the cry and the call meet and something amazing happens. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, this is verse 49, be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. So Bartimaeus, probably after years of begging, calls out, and then in the same way Jesus calls into his life. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. This is a bit of a strange one, but I kept thinking about Bartimaeus' garment this week. Again, whilst making teeth down in muggy mould, I'm thinking about a garment of Bartimaeus and how wonderful and good the Lord Jesus is. May you be encouraged in your weekly activities that the Lord speaks in and through the very simple things of our life. And I just want to turn you, you don't need to go there, but in Isaiah, it talks here in Isaiah 61, which is an incredible chapter, by the way. It says this, this is about good news of salvation. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me. Bless the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. This is Bartimaeus, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I just wondered, I was thinking about Bartimaeus' garment. That was part of his identity. He would have been known by his name, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He would have been known for his location, that he was probably sat in a similar place. But also he would have been known by his outer garment. It probably would have had a couple holes in it, do you think? Or would it have been pristine and white and clean? I'm looking for some facial expressions now. There's a few there. But this garment, it would have had tears, it would have had holes, it would have been dirty. But when the Lord intervened and called Bartimaeus, he replaced this garment with a garment of praise. And so he can do for us this morning. Even in the heaviness of spirit, he can replace it with a garment of praise. And it goes on. It says this. Back to Mark chapter 10. So Jesus called Bartimaeus. Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, which he had probably had with him for so long that I don't know if he'd ever thrown it away anyway. It just would have been on him all the time. He rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, and here's the question that I asked you earlier on, the same question that he asked to James and John earlier on. What do you want me to do for you? Now you might say, well, that is such an obvious question to a man that's blind. Why did he ask that of the man that is blind? Well, I think it actually made Bartimaeus define and say it out loud, what is the issue? Partly because I think there are other people there at the same time, which there were. And it almost speaks of a declaration for those that are listening in, those that were watching, the amazing, miraculous love of the Lord Jesus and his compassion. He made Bartimaeus say, what is it that, what do you want me to do for you? The Lord sometimes wants us to actually express to him, even specifically, Lord, what is it that you want for us to do for you? So he gets him to say it. Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. That's an incredible thing. The more I thought about this story, the illustration of compassion of Jesus Christ, the more it spurs me on. It gives hope. It stirs faith. I was thinking about Bartimaeus and that he was blind, obviously. And sometimes I was reading a little bit about when you have a sense like being blind. And my nan was deaf, and also she was partially sighted as well. One of the things that their other senses can actually be heightened. So if you're blind, your other senses can actually be heightened and more in tune. And I was thinking about Bartimaeus, that he would have been in amongst many conversations with the other beggars. He would have heard many things, and maybe his hearing was so in tune that that's what made his response like it was, one of faith. He couldn't see the Lord Jesus. He would have heard many different voices. He would have heard people telling him, Bartimaeus, quieten down. Please, just be quiet. We don't need this at the moment. But I think somehow his other senses were just so heightened, and with the incredible ingredient of faith, that made him respond and say, oh, son of David. You know, that phrase isn't used in many other places in the New Testament. It's a real reverent, deeply knowing response. I think Mary used it at the resurrection. You may correct me on that there. But it meant just in that response, there was something of deep faith in his heart. So maybe Bartimaeus' senses, maybe he had no eyes, but his heart and his hearing were wide open. That gives us hope. Even amongst the mocking of many others, possibly, we sometimes have to keep following Jesus. And I said at the beginning, maybe just this morning is about, just want to kind of encourage your eyes to go back to the Lord. Following him and knowing him, it's a wonderful thing. It really is. I just want to go on to this next little bit here. This is what it says about Jesus asks this question. And like I said earlier on, I think sometimes the Lord asks us that question. It says this, God is always responsive to such a cry, characterized as this was by, in verse 48, it says here in verse 48, it says, then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. I wrote in my little notes here, Bartimaeus showed some determination. So you got determination. That's my first D, if you call it a D. And then verse 51, it says this. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And then in my notes here, a bit definiteness. Is that a word? I'm not sure if it is. But he was very definite in his response. Lord, that I would receive my sight. This week I said, Lord, would you lower the temperature of my daughter? And then the third one, in verse 52, it says this. My third one, it says, then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. My third one was faith. So you've got determination, definiteness, if that makes a word. Sorry, that none of that makes sense. And then the third one, faith. Just three ingredients. Just three things that we can have in our simple day-to-day activities. I hope that's an encouragement to you this morning. But it's not about status, it's about service. It's not about squabbling like James and John and the other disciples did. Jesus, the one and only, the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ came, and he was the one that absolutely showed how to live a life of faith, and he did it in compassion. And Bartimaeus met that incredible compassion, which I find just so encouraging these days. I wondered if I may, I know our time, we've reached 11:30, but I wondered if we, if I could just pray, is that okay? Just to close, let's just pray together. Lord, thank you for, Lord, being the servant king. And like Graham Kendrick said, who calls us now to follow him? And this week, Lord, it's just been a week of following you again. Lord, we love to follow. We love to know you. Lord, we love to have you in our hearts, living there, Lord. Lord, as I think about the things that we've talked about with blind Bartimaeus, Lord, and Lord, a man that was in such a low ebb, Lord, nothing going from at all, but Lord, he met with you. And Lord, right at the end, it said that he followed you. Lord, he didn't go back to a certain place. He didn't go back in history, back to a previous hurt, back to a previous town. Lord, he went and followed you. Lord, this is the response of faith. Lord, you've been so good to us. Even though, Lord, it's been a bit different this week and this Sunday, Lord, we thank you that we can know you even through being on screens, Lord Jesus, we can know and follow you again this week. Lord, I do pray for all the different things that are coming, Lord, for the funeral this week, for those who are unwell. Lord, that we might again get a fresh glimpse of you, Lord. Like Bartimaeus, Lord, that we would just not keep quiet, but call out all the more louder and say that we want to follow you in all that we do, in all our steps, Lord, whether we're at school this week, college, university, Lord, in our workplaces, for those, Lord, who are at home, for those that are unwell, for those that are just maybe, Lord, in that room praying away, Lord, for those that are travelling, Lord. Lord, we want to know and follow you in a deeper way, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for one another. But thank you for you, Lord, and who you are to us, Lord. Amen, Lord.